The April 26, 2006 Oceana Community Services District Board of Directors meeting is hereby called to order. Roll call, please.
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Hill?
Here.
Director Mann?
Here.
Vice President Bookout?
Here.
President Dahl?
Here. Would you all please stand and join me for the flag salute? Ready?
Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This takes us into public comment. Is there any member of the public would like to address the board at this time? They may.
Pamela Dean, Oceano. I wanted to thank Phil Davis for writing a letter for me relating to my property. After he got it, it took him 2 weeks to find the letter, but he did well once he got it. And I'd like to thank Mitch Cooney for helping me out with a couple of letters that did work, Mitch. So, abridging these kinds of rights. And what it says now, and I'm going to read it, is that slanderous, profane, or personal remarks against any elected official, staff, or member of the audience will not be permitted. I think most of our fellow citizens who come here and spend their evenings here do not commit those offenses. I don't know who is going to be the arbiter to determine who makes those kinds of offenses, but I think it's offensive to say that to us. We are being here, putting our time out, reading those the whole packets, coming here to speak to you, and we get this kind of thing. It's bad. You can see what happens. We have five people here tonight, and we need our public comment back at the end of the meeting. So those are my comments to you. I think you need the people here speaking to you, and I don't see that they have committed any of these acts or that needs to be in there. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. And at this point in time, today is Administrative Assistance Day, and on behalf of the board, we would like to thank you, Gina, for the many, many hours of work you put in. I know what you put out.
Thank you. It's very sweet.
Next week we'll have Fire Chief's Day, and every day is Lawyer Day. So,
okay, that takes us to item number four: review and approval of the minutes. Any public comment on the minutes? Okay, any board comment, questions, corrections? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Move that we accept the minutes as presented.
Second.
Okay, a motion second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. Okay, we have no fire items tonight. Utility items, cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines. Mr. Finney?
This is our continuing disclosure concerning the emergency declared after the San Simeon earthquake. Hopefully we'll wrap this up before the end of this calendar year, but at this time, by 4/5 vote, the board needs to determine that the emergency needs to be continued.
Okay, thank you. Any public comment? Okay, anyone from the board have anything?
I'll move that we continue the declaration of emergency after the San Simeon earthquake.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay. This takes us to item number 7 from the public. Okay, unless there's an objection, we'll order this filed and received, or received and filed, whichever one you want to put first. Okay, 7B. Surplus miscellaneous supplies and fittings. It's resolution 2006-10. Mr. Cooney?
Okay, these are items that, as you know, we're cleaning the old fire station for allowing the community health centers to, or health services to renovate the building. These are old office equipment parts that have been in that building probably as long as I've been around, and we'd like to surplus them. The only thing that we think that has any value up there is the IBM system and the line coordinator, and we're trying to investigate what we can get for those. The rest of it is so old, and those directors who've been around a while know that when we get a computer, it goes to either Gina or Cindy, and then it gets passed down to one of the other people, and then after it's passed through those people, it gets passed down to the yard. And you know, if they made 186s, I'm sure that Phil's crew's got one someplace. So you know, these things are pretty well used up, and anything that's been stored over in the old fire station is definitely used up, and it's just basically unsaleable. Anybody wants it, of course, can have it.
I have a question, if I may.
In a moment, please. Was that it?
That's it.
Okay.
I kind of thought we did, because yeah. They're cathode ray tubes.
I just wondered.
I know that there are places that will take them for free.
Okay.
Check with the garbage company. I'm sure they will know where those places are. But I have seen flyers out where they take them for free. Okay. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none, bring it back to the board. Anybody else have any questions, comments?
Just one question or comment again. Is there a way for members of the public that might be interested to come to the office and express an interest in any of this equipment? And
sure.
That it could be given to them, or?
Matter of fact, they express interest in any of it, we'll give it all of it to them.
Okay, so if any member of the public's interested, come by the district office and inquire. And for the two items that may have some residual value, we'll try to arrange to sell those.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so since that's available to the public, let me just quickly go over the list of what some of those items are. Is that all right with you?
Sure.
Okay, there's some keyboards, an IBM PC, a couple desks, a copy machine, fax machine, printer, computer monitors. So, okay, anyone else have anything? Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to adopt resolution 2006-10.
Second.
Okay, motion and second. Representatives. And I'll go over the flood zone 11A meetings. Basically, the ballots are out right now for the vote. They need to be returned I think they're counting them, so they need to return by June 6th. And right now, what some of the breakdowns are is that the vote is basically, let me get to that page there. The vote is basically the single family residents and multifamily residents have about 25% of the vote. Recreational is 8% of the vote. Industrial, 13%. Commercial, 12%. And public facilities is 12%. And agricultural has a 30% of the vote. And, of course, the percentage of vote is also the percentage of cost to those organizations. Right now, we're working on some of the stuff that's going on with the budget for next year and the concerns that the advisory council is having at this point is that there's quite a lot of insurance expense that is being that is going to be in the budget, so we're working on to come in and if they want still change their vote. You can contact some of the people in the Zone 11A meeting for how that can be done if that's something that's your desire to do. The Airport Land Use Commission, I didn't receive notification to attend that, so I did not attend that one. So that's all I have at this point. Ask Mr. Cooney to attend that, so maybe at the end, Mr. Cooney, you could give a report on that. Mr. Bookout.
All righty.
If we have questions of you.
Sure, we can do Sandy. Questions at each time.
Do you mind?
No, not at all.
How much percentage does the sanitation district have? Do you know?
I don't know the actual percent that the sanitation district has, but the sanitation district is part of the public facilities.
Okay.
And the public facilities would
the airport,
the sanitation district, and maybe a few other government-type entities.
And that was 15%, did
12%.
You say? 12%. Okay, the next question I have, the liability insurance that needs to be purchased, is that included in the budgeted figures for the assessment, or exactly how is that going to work?
What's happened with the insurance is that the budget has basically just a few categories, and there's engineering, there's countywide overhead, there's in addition to that, because of the breach that was out there, or this is the reason the county is giving, because of the breach that happened, there is an additional insurance cost that is being charged to the Zone 11A, and this is the problem that is...
And how much is that?
That's $135,550, and it is approximately a third of what the assessment is. Yeah, that's
okay. So a third of the assessment that's being going to be passed on to us, $135,000 is for additional liability insurance?
Yep.
Okay, and then you also mentioned the county. Is that how much county overhead? Is that on there too?
County overhead is $11,000. And then in that county overhead is a certain percentage of like 4% or something like that, or 2.5%. I don't quite remember exactly. It's a small amount, but it is the overall amount of insurance that
the regular insurance
that is not above and beyond.
4% regular insurance maybe doesn't bother me as an individual or as a board member here, but $135,000 additional insurance, and the county is self-insured, are they not?
They are self-insured. There are actually two reasons they're saying that this is happening. One is that they're being self-insured. They're underfunded right now, and so they're charging everybody additional amounts of funding. And then on top of that, because of the
breach. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And
I don't have any answers. I just want people to understand.
Yeah, and good. And I'm glad you're asking those questions. Go ahead.
Now, this insurance, is that for the levy breaches again, or is that just for if somebody gets hurt down there? Or what's the policy actually for?
I don't know exactly what that is, if that's separate for insurance right in this area, or if it's just goes into one overall county insurance fund that the county will pay what problems they have, that they have to pay out insurance on. I know that the additional amount of insurance is already way over what they have been requesting, or what the zone has been paying in overall assessments in the past. So property tax collected from the zone prior to this vote, to this assessment, was only $57,370, with about $800 in insurance and another $18,000 in service charges. So they are asking for more insurance. They're charging the zone for more insurance cost than the entire zone was collecting before this vote.
Was that $57,000? Was that what was used to pay everybody off when the levy got breached? Do you know? Or Glenda might know, maybe. I see her sitting back there.
What was used to pay the...
not used to clean the creek.
That was
creek,
all...
that was whatever you call it, and put away. Then that money was then used to take care of the farmers and the houses that flooded. And when...
Yeah, that
when
was
the
absorbed.
Levy broke.
That was absorbed.
Rather than using the insurance the county, or they paid back their insurance fund. Is that what they did?
They.
Probably
I'm
not
exactly sure.
You.
I'm not exactly sure, but that was absorbed through the insurance. So there is the reserves at this point in the zone 11A is $3,065. So they had a lot of money in reserves prior to that lawsuit that was absorbed in the lawsuit, but there was also insurance used as well to pay off that lawsuit. It wasn't only that money.
Oh.
From what I understand.
Just the next time, if you just get a chance, would you ask them, I'm just curious, if the money that was in the reserves was all, did that go for the lawsuit, or did it go to reimburse the county's insurance fund? Is that the way I want to, I think that might be the way I want to word that, if you could find out.
I got a question for you too there, Vern.
Hold on.
And not picking on you, Vern, about this, but just since you go to it, you can ask them. So
Yeah. You'll
be unpopular with them instead of me.
Well, no, the questions you're asking get a better picture for getting this.
I'm not blaming the advisory council at all. Just since I'm not a member of that, or I don't attend those meetings, I would just like to know what the county is the one you need to ask those questions to. I would think.
Yeah. Mr. Cooney, you may know the answer to that question, do you?
I'm sorry, what's the question?
On the amount of the amount that was in the reserve, did it go to pay off the lawsuit or to reimburse the county for their
insurance?
For their insurance. Or their deductible or whatever, I'm not sure.
Well, since they're self-insured up to a certain point, I think that the answer is it's all the same money. The money that was in reserves, my understanding, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million, was used to pay off the liability that the county incurred because of the breach in the levy. Now, how the money was actually applied to what account, I don't know that. But since they're self-insured, if it reimbursed their insurance fund, or if it went to pay, it's money left pocket, right pocket. I mean, but it's all the county pocket. So.
Okay, well, then just one more question, then I'll be done. Hypothetically, if we end up paying $135 or $135,000 for liability insurance, will that be held in reserve for only things that happen on the creek, or would that be used when?
You on that, but I believe that it would be a county. It would go for the county for countywide events, as opposed to just events at the AG Creek.
Well, that's a little scary.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not something that very many people are happy about right now.
I'm kind of confused now. Vern, you said there was $57,000 that the county had collected for maintenance of the creek. And Mitch, you said something like $1 million that they had collected?
For a number of years, that $57,000 accumulated.
Over
years. And because, if you know, that there was some stoppage as to what the county could do based on needing certain permits and things such as that. So the $57,000 that was collected was banked rather than expended on creek maintenance.
The $57,000 per year, roughly?
Yes.
So the county had over $1 million of money collected that they could have done maintenance to the Rio Grande Creek channel to prevent the flooding of 2001 to the farm fields? If they had taken that $1 million...
The simplistic answer is yes. The complicated answer is they could have had, you know, I don't know what the permitting process would have been that would have allowed them to do that, because, you know, they're dealing with various layers of governmental agencies they needed permits from, you know, overlapping agencies, and I'm not even sure who all those agencies are. So they had $1 million that was potentially available to do the work had they had the permits to do this.
So ultimately, the county was negligent in not doing the work because
I don't think we can say that.
And ultimately, the taxpayers of Oceano that are about to get an absorbent amount of additional property taxes on their bill or have to pay a lot more money really would not have to pay that money if the county had done their job right the first time.
Well,
and taken the money that they collected in tax dollars and maintained the creek from when it was established in the 1950s, or the levee.
They would have used a tractor, they'd have been in jail.
In all fairness, I don't know the agency which precluded the work from being done. I mean, I'm not positive it was the county. I don't know what agency would not issue a permit. I know, you know, that you, as Director Mann just said, the days of just driving a, you know, D8 cat down the middle of it and clearing it out are gone. I mean, that you can't just do that anymore. I know the county did some things. They, you know, they had the goat process and things such as that, you know, where they rented a flock of goats or a herd of goats, whatever, however goats come, to go in there and eat the underlying brush. But I really don't think that you can necessarily, as far as not cleaning the creek, blame the county. I think maybe the county has some culpability, but I don't think it's ultimate culpability.
But they collected money for maintenance.
They did collect it. Yes, they did. And I think the issue is that how that money was spent. That $1 million was, you know, I honestly believe in my heart, if I was paying an assessment to maintain, excluded them from performing because of some permitting process, or you know, the permitting process got to be so onerous that the permits became overlapping to the point where one would expire at the same time the next one started, and so, you know, it would be an impossible bureaucratic situation to really do the work. So I don't know where the real fault lies, and without actually, you know, studying it.
Yeah. If I was a judge, or a fighting attorney, I would say the fault lies with the county for not maintaining the creek with the money assessments, tax dollars that were paid to them. But I'm not, so hopefully we can get that taken care of. Vern, I got a question for you. Is there a creek walk this coming weekend?
Yes, I believe there's one on this Saturday. But I don't have that date here for sure, date and time. But I'm pretty sure there is one, and
I actually looked on the internet and found this, but I want to let the public know this Saturday at 10 a.m. April 29th, there's a creek walk, and it's the Coastal San Luis Obispo, San Luis Reservoir Conservation District and the Central Coast Salmon Enhancement are putting it on. And it will start at 22nd Street Bridge in Oceano and last about 2 hours.
Up or down? Which way are they going, up or down?
It starts at 22nd. I don't know. I would imagine
well, if
down.
Going up, that's...
The goats have been up, so they're probably going to go down where the goats haven't been.
Okay.
I was at the Government's Affairs Day, and it was a really good event. I got to sit with some very powerful people. I sat with Ralph Helm. He's with a CSDA legislator advocate. I got to sit with Bruce Bill, who used to be, he's maybe not powerful, but he used to be with Los Osos. He's down in Napomo. Very influential person. I enjoyed my conversations with him. What we went over in this one-day thing was we had a speaker by the name of Anthony York. He's an editor for the Capital Weekly. He used to be with the Sacramento Bee. He's been back east. Political news reporter stated what something I got out of him is special districts, CSDs, you know, watching our cash in our accounts, making sure we don't let the government take too much. Ralph Helm, legislator assistant, he talked about government bills to come. He talked about flood and levee protection, California bond measures, 30 to 40 million. In the legislature, they talked about pending money that we're trying to get from the government in the billion, I think $1 billion right now, for levies. This, we're in Oceano. Let's ask for some of that money. We could use it for our Zone 11A. There was three courses I could have taken. I could only take one. We had candidates for them that kind of did. Beringer, general manager from Placer County Waterage Agency. Steve Kill, director, legislature services, California State Association of Counties, SCAC. A lot of good information here about our districts. Then after that, I had a chance to go over to, I had two meetings lined up. One was with Abel Maldonado, and the other one was with Sam Blakesley at the Capitol. I went over there. The meetings were 15 minutes apart, so I knew I wasn't going to make one. Since we had talked to Sam Blakesley last year, I chose to go with Abel Maldonado. When you get into Abel's office, you've only got a short time to speak your case. Abel wasn't present. He was in away from there. But I did talk to one of his assistants, a gentleman by the name of William Moyer. And in 15 minutes, I told him about our district, what we have going on here. I talked about parks and recreation. I talked about our beach and possibly getting some money from the state to enhance our fire department, our community, and went on with many other things. After this meeting with him, I did it in 15 minutes, which was very quick. I was in it took me 4 minutes to get to Sam Blakesley's office, and I was able to tie in with Sam Blakesley's office. And I talked with Christine Robertson, and she's in San Luis Obispo. She was up there that week helping out the office. Very is beneficial. Talked about Zone 1A with her. I brought up a couple of issues she wasn't quite aware of, and hoping to maybe go up and get a chance to talk to Sam Blakesley a little bit more about our community. Any questions? Any questions from the audience?
Okay. We'll move on. Director Angelo?
Okay, we had a fire committee meeting. We're up to 238 calls, which is right at par for what we were last year at this time. We also talked about John Bogle gave a presentation on building a training center or a training house. You know, it'd be a simulated house, small one, where they could practice ventilating, putting ladders against, you know, how to operate the ladders properly and how to cut the roof properly and so forth and so on. And he's proposing to put it down here in the water yard. And so he's going to look into what permits are going to be required, if any, and get back to us on that. We also had a couple explorers go up to Modesto last week or a week and a half ago, and they went through a little camp where they stay right there and they get all kinds of they get some live fire action, actually, which is Mike was saying that's real beneficial to, but she could probably give us a little more information when it's her turn.
I think that was Echo Slow that took the paint, which we really owe them a big vote of thanks for taking the paint, accepting the paint from us.
And that's about all I have.
Okay. Any questions for Director Angelo?
The training facility that Captain Bova proposed, would that be something that we could share with other jurisdictions, or would that be?
Yeah, there was some talk about that, and as Mike put it, it's a bring your own plywood. In other words, uh-huh. You know, once they cut it, they're going to have to replace it. Right. So they wanted to come over and use it and then put it back to the original state, then that's what they're planning on doing. That.
Yeah, his proposal was that it could be reused many times by patching it back together and rebuilding
it. Right. Force entry, they're going to have doors to where they can practice force entry and smoke rescues and so forth.
Will they be using fire on site?
No.
No fire.
I think the good thing about this was that you're able to get a lot of donations to build it. It will not be costing the district very much money to erect this training building, but it also will. It will not.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think what we're just waiting for planning to give their blessing, county planning.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, Director Hill.
Along with several of the other directors, I attended the California Special District San Luis Obispo chapter annual meeting, which Barbara would probably want to discuss a little bit further on her turn. We had an interesting presentation from Paul Hood, who was the director of LAFCO, the local agency formation committee in San Luis Obispo County. One of the things that was on the agenda was to select alternate representative from special districts to the LAFCO organization, but there wasn't a quorum present, so no election was held. But Mr. Hood went over the changes to the California Special Districts legislation, which affects all special districts, OCSD included, of course. And he pointed out that special districts now have effectively 30-some potential services that can be given to the public, provided that there is a source of funding identified, which may take, of course, an election. But it sounds like some of the application process has been streamlined in the new legislation. Barbara may want to address that meeting, but I'd like to compliment our staff, Gina and Mitch and Phil and everyone who was there, for putting on a good meeting with the
board members and their spouses or significant others to come to this. It's a couple things we do. One of the things is Paul Hood usually comes and gives a state of the LAFCO report every year. And basically the things he talked about were things that he came and talked to us the first of the year. The new powers, if you didn't have something enacted by January 1st, you still have to go back and ask LAFCO for it, but you get it. I mean, yeah, it's in there. But you have to have the money to do it. So if you're thinking about, oh, gee, I want to take over roads, well, we have to have more money than the county to get to do that, or LAFCO says no. It's based on who can provide the best service. And John Seitz talked about the rules, some of the ways we do things that in the special districts. Special districts does have two members who sit on LAFCO and one alternate. Well, we've not had an alternate since Las Osas had their recall, because our alternate was Stan Gustafson, and he got recalled. So we've been sitting without an alternate all this time, and we are busy, and there are a lot of things happening, so we do need an alternate. But for a LAFCO election, you have to have a quorum. Well, there, what are there, 33 special districts in San Luis Obispo County. Special district is not just like us. The cemeteries are special districts. There are some little road districts that are simply, they just have control over one road. I mean, it's amazing, and they don't generally. So what will happen, Paul will be sending out notices to all 33 special districts, and if they have somebody who would, a special district has somebody who would like to run for the, this is just for the alternate position. And the board said, yes, we want to send Joe Blow's name forward. It would take a vote of the board to put forward that person's name, and then it would be put on the ballot, and all the districts then would vote and send it back in. The way it usually works is the best, I think what we found over the past, the way it works the best is you have a representative from the south part of the county, you have one from the north part of the county, and then you have one from the coast. That way, all the areas of the county are represented. Because when we serve on LAFCO, we take off our LAFCO hat and we become just county-wide person, and we're looking at what's best for all of the residents, not just special districts. You know, when you're sitting, you're a special district representative, well, that doesn't mean that you're going to vote yes every time with a special district when they come up with something. You have to look at the facts and judge it the best you can. On LAFCO, you have two representatives from the Board of Supervisors, and that some years it's the same as a prior year, some years it changes. You have two city representatives. This year we have one from Atascadero and one from San Luis, but the cities get together at their meeting and they decide who their representatives are going to be. There are two LAFCO representatives, and then it works. So that was the big part of the evening. And we had an auction, and we had fun. Like I say, it was a private meeting. It wasn't really open to the public. You bring your spouse or your significant other. So it was a very nice night. We got out of here pretty early. So that takes care of LAFCO. Sand District, Sanitation District, we had a very short meeting. We've still not voted how we're going to vote on the creek. And the only reason we haven't voted, it hasn't been on the agenda. It needs to be on the agenda because the three of us need to, there needs to be a vote just for the record of how our ballot will be cast for that, or however many we get, whatever part of the 12% votes we have. You know, it's a huge number, I guess, in that. Then I attended the Fire Consolidation Oversight Committee meeting on Friday. Dave wasn't able to attend, so I went in his place. And Mr. Lieberman from Grover Beach, I believe he's the chair. Is that correct, Mitch?
That is correct.
And he's the chair. And the meeting was basically conducted by the fire chief from Aurora Grande, Grover Beach. He ran it. They went over... They did a nice little presentation, and they talked about mutual aid and automatic aid, and they talked about what the difference is between mutual aid and automatic aid and how that works. For those of you that don't know, immediately, you don't have to wait for somebody to get there first, and there are certain they have certain parameters for that and how that works. They talked about I call it the big book, but I don't know what you really call it. But they have a book that's in effect in the five cities, which is Grover, Aurora Grande, Pismo, and Oceana. We're all in that book, right?
And CDF.
And CDF, yeah. Well, I said Pismo, I meant CDF, I guess. Or did I? No, separate. But the book, if there's a fire in a certain place, Aurora Grande responds, say, and then their next backup might be Grover has to go help them, then that makes Oceano go to a certain place to stage. And seems to me every time I hear that happening, it's usually at Oak Park and the highway, right? That's where you tend to stage. But this is a great plan, and it works really, really well. They have this boot. They have every little plan on how to make things work and who does what and who you call for certain kind of fires or incidents. And I believe I heard them say that it's such a great document that they've put together that people, other fire departments in the state, are looking at it because they think that this was so good. And this was done in conjunction with the five fire chiefs working together. I mean, this wasn't just one agency. This is another way where we have all cooperated and worked well with each other. So it's an example of what can be done. So they talked about that, and I kind of knew about the automatic and the mutual because I've listened to a dispatcher. When a call, you live in Oceano and you call 911, well, your call automatic gets, it goes to the sheriff's office, and then they notify by two-way radio their sheriff or their patrol guy what to do, or they send it on to the ambulance. And then if it's a fire, that goes from Grover out to the fire department. That's the way we work. Grover and Aurora Grande, they use something called a PSAP, and I don't remember what. Tell me, what does that stand for? Yes. None of us can remember. PSAP, I can remember.
It's PSAP.
Yeah.
It stands for a point of contact.
Okay.
Primary point of contact.
Yeah, primary point of contact. So Grover and Aurora Grande, they call 911, and that directly notifies the fire and law resources by two-way radio. Then they notify, their dispatcher will notify the sheriff if there's any problem, and then they also notify MedCom to send the ambulance. So we're on two different, you know, we do it one way, they do it another. So they're talking a little bit about looking to see what they can do to maybe get all the dispatch the same, and it probably is very, very expensive. I don't know that. I'm just, I see people shaking their head and making faces, but I'm just giving you a report on what they talked about at this. Then they're talking about, they're going to get into this dispatching and the technology a lot more. That's one of their big issues on their plan that they're working on. They have
subcommittee.
Well, they have a subcommittee for that. They appointed a subcommittee for that. But they also have the number of issues that they're going to be dealing with on these meetings. They had that. And then the last thing they talked about was training, joint training. And that was why I was so glad tonight when Mr. Hill asked if other agencies would be able to use our training facility. And that is one of the things that was brought up, that the agencies need to train together. It really needs to be joint training, and not just AG and Grover, or not just Grover and Oceano, but everybody together, so that everybody speaks the same language, knows the same thing, and is trained the same way. So that is going to be the next, I think that's going to be a subject of conversation at one of their future meetings. So that was that. Any questions?
Anybody have anything?
Yeah. Mr. President? I'm sorry.
Yes.
In the past, when we've had a representative to to the sanitation district. There have been from time to time issues that have come up before the sanitation district that are of extreme interest to the entire board. One of those issues at this particular time happens to be the vote that will be taking place on the Prop 218. By consensus, I would like a team vote since we are one-third owner of the sanitation district.
Your thoughts on that, Director Mann?
Oh, I would like a consensus because if it gets on the agenda next time, I'd like to be able to handle that and not just say, oh, I have to wait for the board to talk about it. I mean, we've talked about the creek a million times. And
so you don't know if it's coming up on your next agenda or not?
It is supposed to have been on the agenda, and it just some way didn't get on there. But I did mention it again last Wednesday night that it needs to be on there.
Okay, so my preference would be to agendize it, but that may, we may not have time for that.
Well, we don't have to vote on that until June 8th. And we have the whole month of May.
Well, I'll be more than happy to tell them that. Our general manager would like them to wait for the vote until whatever day then.
Well, I'm sorry, it's not me. I'm just saying that there are certain issues that...
Well, I'm just telling you, you know, we've...
How are we as far as a consensus, as far as not being on the agenda tonight?
Well, you certainly can discuss the matter, and you're doing that. If you can't take action on it tonight because it's not properly agendized. If you don't take action on it tonight, then your representative has the authority to act as your representative in accordance with her conscience. Beyond that, if she wants to seek some specific formal guidance from the board, or perhaps even, I'm not sure that you can do it in a binding fashion, but some direction from the board as to how to vote, would have to be at some future meeting. But you have discussed all of your individual thoughts on it tonight. I think everybody spoke to it. Maybe somebody was missed. And you could discuss that further tonight. And certainly your representative can take into account when she casts her vote anything she's heard from you and from the general public and that sort of thing. But I would not frame it in the form of a consensus because that starts to sound like you've taken an action in an improper way under the Brown Act.
Okay.
Let me add, I've talked about this before, but then let me give you a few more facts. That the Sand District, Sanitation District, is a part of Zone 11A. Correct? You agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, they're going to be paying X dollars when if this vote goes through. If the public votes to go with this vote, which is cheaper than being taken over by the state. But no matter what happens, the sanitation district is going to be paying a certain amount of money. Now, the sanitation district, you'll remember, is Aurora Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceana. There are people that live in Grover Beach and Aurora Grande that probably don't even know where that creek is, but they're still going to be paying a little bit. I think they said maybe 50 cents a year is when they spread it out, something like that, a very minimal amount, because it would be impossible for them to pull out the individual people so that they don't get hit with that 50 cents isn't going to happen. I mean, they've already said that. That's not going to happen. It's going to be everybody. It's going to be paying a very slight amount. It comes out of the bills. There's no place else for them to take it. There's no other pots of money in there that they're allowed to take that money to pay this bill to either the state or the county. So that's kind of the way it has been explained at the Sand District. I kind of thought we should just build a wall around it and then say we're not in this, but that doesn't work. I mean, they said you can't do that. Is that the way you understand it, Jim? Because I know Jim had...
Well, yeah, I tend to think of it in my own mind as everybody in the whole area owns a little piece of the Sand District, and then
the property owners in the Zone 1-1A are in this so-called defined zone of benefit, and so they're going to be charged one way or another for the fact that their water runs downhill toward them. And one a major concern of mine as far as the Sand District goes is the Sand District, it's kind of in the same boat as everybody else, is that if the 218 vote doesn't pass, then the Department of Water Resources will come in and impose a cost.
It'll be double.
It'll be double or more on the Sand District and everybody else. So I think my opinion of the most economical solution for everyone is to support the 218 election, which a vote yes on the 218, yeah. The ultimate bill to the residents would be dramatically less if the 218 election passes.
Yeah, and I guess we need to remember that if the Sand District doesn't work, everybody's in trouble, you know.
And that does.
If it floods, it affects all of us.
Everyone in the other jurisdictions that contribute to the Sand District, that is one way that some minor portion of the cost is spread greater than just the boundary of the zone and the property owners in the Zone 1-1A boundaries.
Does that does the price increase, or does that include Pismo? Are they part of this because
nope.
their outflow
nope.
goes in through Oceano?
Nope.
Would they not be affected if
nope.
If the levee flooded, would the line going out in the ocean be affected? Not at all.
They're not in this deal.
Okay.
They don't have to pay anything. Got anything to say, David?
No, not really. I guess the most economical way to do it is to support the election.
The if the sanitation plant should flood, we would have violations of discharge violations and different
big time
that the would impose mandatory fines.
Big fines
on the sanitation plant, and those fines would have to be paid by every person that is hooked up to the sanitation plant. So in reality, each hookup is paying the same amount of money toward any fines that would be imposed in case that sanitation plant flooded. So I think that in all fairness, each hookup would evenly distribute the cost of this assessment. So I don't think there would be an issue with who's in the zone and who's not in the zone.
No, the point about who's in the zone was those folks are, it's only if, only, it's 50 cents a year more, they're going to be paying extra because they've already paid once in Zone 1-1A. And then isn't there another little area in there that maybe pays another time? Not
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, there's the original assessment, and then there's the new assessment that's got a little bit different boundary
yeah.
lines, and then there's your regular property tax that you're paying toward flood control, and then there's the cost on the additional cost that will now be on the sanitation bill that you're paying toward flood control. So yeah, you're paying more than once for flood control, and some people 2, 3, and 4 times, just in different directions. But yeah, that's just where it is. Anything else on this issue? Okay, one other comment that I might make on the fire consolidation, just like an FYI, when they had the available for consolidating communication. That might be looked at.
I just go there and listen when I go.
Yeah, well,
I don't make any
for
comments.
whoever wants to, you know, I just threw that out there because it was just a piece of information that thought might be helpful. Okay, anybody else have anything? Okay, is there any public comment on the district representative's statements tonight? Okay. So that will take us on to board member items for discussion. Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Cooney, we still have the Airport Land Use Commission that you went to.
Okay. The draft of the Oceano element of the Airport Land Use Commission is available. The Airport Land Use Commission will adopt a schedule at their June meeting to include some public interface meetings, and it appears that the final adoption will probably come in fall or early winter. On May 8th, the citizens of Oceana will meet in this room here at 5:30 to discuss the land use plan to present Oceano's comments to the commissioners, and the commissioners have agreed to appoint a subcommittee to meet as needed and at least twice to develop the final, to accept Oceano citizens' input to develop the final draft.
Is that draft online?
I don't know if it's online. I've got a copy. I've got a copy of it. If you want it, I can get you a copy.
I'd like to have a copy.
It's online? Okay.
Okay. Any questions, comments? Any public comment?
Yeah, I was wondering.
I don't have an answer to that question. I think it would be in the best interest of the community to at least give it an attempt to put forth the community's ideas into this rather than just allow the Airport Land Use Commission in a vacuum to create the document. I think it's important that the wishes and the thoughts of the community be at least be known to the people when they make their vote. Now, I don't know if it's going to make it, you know, I don't know. But, you know, I mean, I guess we've got two choices. One is the community can say, you know, let us know what it's going to be like, or this is what we think it ought to be like. And, you know, and I think it would be better if we put our, you know, we as a community put in our thoughts what we think are issues rather than just default it. Because if they think we don't care, they won't care either. I mean, they, you know. So I think it's important that there is some input, some citizen input.
I'd just like to be able to get some teeth into, you know, we spend a lot of money with our specific plan, and I want to be able to get some teeth to be able to help the Airport Land Use Commission to, you know, understand what the citizens of Oceano actually want. And I think maybe it might be beneficial for us to come up with some type of a plan to help the Airport Land Use Commission actually understand what our citizens want.
Cooperative effort, that's exactly, you know, that will create the best of all documents.
So I just want to present this issue to the board. I think it's very important. This is going to be a big, big agenda for the development of not only our community, but Pier Avenue as well. So I just want you guys to be aware of it, the importance of it.
Thank you, Mr. Hernandez. It's, you know, I mean, it would be nice to have as many people as possible at this May 8th meeting to start putting together what we can, you know, what can be done to make it as possible as we can to develop and to put forward, move this town forward. And if anybody owns land on the west side of Highway 1, the value of your land and the ability of what you can do on your land is going to be greatly influenced by what this plan is, the plan that's coming out this year. So now's the time to come down, get involved, and get educated, and figure out how we can have an influence on what that plan is going to be. Thank you. Anyone else have anything to say?
You know, I kind of look like this comes up on May 8th, but there's no vote at that time regarding the draft. Is there?
Only people who are going to be here on May 8th are Oceano people.
Okay, so they'll won't be in here in OCSD at that time
we speak to them from a standpoint of knowledge rather than speculation and emotion. We speak to them with an air of knowledge.
When was the last airport land use created? Was that during when OCSD had control of the airport?
I don't know. Do you know?
No. It was 1976.
1976?
Correct.
So it's been a few years since this has been looked at.
Just a couple.
And Oceano has changed in those few years.
Yes.
Anything else?
Okay.
Just on the subject, did we want to, backing up a little bit back to the question of the sand district, and do we want to put that on a future agenda? Would that not be a good idea to put that on a future agenda anyway, to whether it might be even after the fact, if necessary, to
One of the reasons I brought this up is that, as I said in the past, when a particularly important issue has been brought before the board, brought before the Sanitation District Board, sometimes it has come to our board for some kind of ratification. I think you gave adequate feelings to our representative on the Sanitation District to move forward. And I think the only reason we would want to say put this on our agenda is if we wanted to at a later date, and we have until June 8th to change the vote of the way this board feels. So I think we should just let it go.
Okay, we've kind of bounced around between board comment and public comment, but right now let's continue with public comment.
Pamela Dean, Oceano. When you speak to the airport land use, I would not say it's just the people on Pier Avenue. I would say it would be the whole community that would have a say in this. I have an navigation easement over my property. I am part of this community, and I think we all need to be supporting and getting out to understand what's going on. Height restrictions are getting real picky on a lot of these things. I'd like to find out online where to find that, what the online address is, if you can let us know, so we can look at it and see what we need to bring to that meeting. But I think this needs to be including the whole community, very much as the Sand District does. That is a cost of doing business for all the people that use that facility. They're going to have to pay for the cost of doing business there. So I would say yes, vote yes on that Zone 11A. I don't think you have a choice. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dean. As far as the airport land use plan is concerned, the major influenced properties will be, for the most part, the high majority of the ones on the west side of Highway 1. But the overall influence of the airport covers a good majority of the entire community of Oceano. And there's certain areas that are affected to a higher degree than other areas. Anybody that can and will come, it'd be appreciated. And the bigger voice we have, the better off we are. So please do come, please do attend. Anyone else have anything here? Any additional public comment?
I live in Oceano 2 with my grandmother, and
can you
attend.
Your name, please?
Oh, Anna Maldonado.
I'm sorry.
Anna Maldonado. I attend AGI. We've went over a couple of times as I watched on TV how you guys discussed the floods and how they ruin the streets and it's hard for us to walk. Well, I get dropped off right in the middle of the mud where it's really hard for us to kind of get over it if we're right in the mud when we get off. And so walking in the mud, we're usually knee high because the way that the roads are made, it's kind of hard for us to go over them. Well, as soon as we get home all full of mud, we also have that problem in front of our streets, too. Like, it's all over the streets. It's not just in one part. It's in, like, all the parts around Oceano. And I was just wondering, when are we going to address this problem? Because, like, we're coming home sick because of the mud and the water, and there might be bacteria in the water and other concerns with that. I just wanted to address that.
Okay, thank you. Any additional public comment?
Can I, from the beginning here, and as the county approves more and more building in the community, the issue of runoff and flooding is just exacerbated. And unfortunately, in the planning element, the drainage requirements and the requirements for drainage infrastructure is not kept up with the allowances for building and improvement of properties here. So the flooding just seems to get worse and worse. Unfortunately, the county spent a couple of years ago, they had a pot of money, let's say, which was not enough to solve all of our problems, but it could have solved some, and it was spent on a study. Most recently, the Board of Supervisors allowed, I think it was $100,000 for flooding issues in Oceano. That's hardly enough to even drain a pond. And a very large, by comparison, sum of money was allocated for Napomo and some of the problems that they have there. So I think the amount that was allocated for Oceano is pretty trivial, and that I would hope that we can continue to address this matter with the Board of Supervisors and get some more adequate funding, and hopefully to influence the planning process such that when a project is approved that will impact drainage issues here, that those projects could perhaps be surcharged to make sure that the drainage infrastructure that's necessary goes in, that our streets are trying to leave students off. Other students are trying to walk in the middle of the street, and it's just it's a public safety issue, it's a public health issue, and it's something that's just gone on too long. And we all need to advocate better to the Board of Supervisors and make sure that we elect supervisors that are more attentive to the needs of the community. I'm very sympathetic to your point.
To follow up with what Jim said about what your comment.
Let's just go ahead and move this into board member items for discussion, and you can continue.
Okay, well, then I'll start off. To follow up with what you had to say with the safety, you know, our community here, we have a lot of things, streets, flooding, curb, gutters, sidewalks that need to be addressed. And it was just the other day I was walking over the railroad bridge here in Oceano, and for our children to walk over the railroad bridge, which is Highway 1, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's big old potholes that you can't walk safely over it. And Caltrans has, I believe they have the jurisdiction over that bridge, has ignored it. And I was thankful to see our employees the other day. They were doing some work up on Highway 1 in the middle of the street, and our employees were actually putting blacktop down in the street, covering up a hole. So hopefully, you know, maybe in the future we can get, if we have a hole in our streets in Oceano, maybe our CSD employees can start filling in some of these holes.
I express my dissatisfaction that the public comment period has been taken out of the end of the meeting. I think we've heard many times from the public. I continue to hear from the public of the dissatisfaction that public comment has been removed from the end of the meeting, and I'll continue to register my displeasure with that.
My turn?
Yes.
Mitch, have we gotten an answer for the audit from the community center yet?
The community center director has called me and asked me for the names of some auditors.
I guess I'm kind of taken aback because I thought most not-for-profit who have federal and state funds had to have audits made. Interesting.
Who was the guy we had here did our audit a few couple of years ago that was really good and raised a bunch of questions. We could send them to his name.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Well, Mr.
It was
Crosby's
not a good auditor.
Mr. No, I guess, no, that was Mr. Ward. No, I'll discuss that with you.
He's okay. Not a good auditor, sorry.
All right. Anything else?
That was all. I just had my question. I guess that'll be my bi-monthly question until we get it.
Okay. Any public comment on the board member items for discussion?
Pamela Dean Oceano, and I want to speak to repave in this area by Caltrans. And Phil, I guess, is waiting for the repaving to happen. It is going to happen in here. They're starting in Santa Barbara first, as I understand it, but they are repaving.
Question on the warrants? Public comment on the warrants? Okay.
I move we pay the bills.
Motion and a second?
Second.
Okay.
I'm sorry, who was that?
So, motion by Director Mann, seconded by Director Angelo. And anybody have anything?
I noted that there was mileage and per diem was issued to one of the directors that shows up on this group of warrants. I'm just wondering why it didn't show up on the last group of warrants before the trip, such that members of the public might have a chance to comment on something like that. I don't have any issue with this particular item itself, just that it seemed to me that if we could get that those warrants issued a little bit earlier before the meeting, such that members of the public could comment on business before the public, on the public's business before it happens.
Right. Well, I guess the point's well taken. It's just been tradition by the district to just get the warrant issued just prior to the event itself taking place. To do that, we would have issued the warrant like 3 weeks before the event.
I think our last board meeting where the warrants were distributed was like 2 days before the event, which in this case really seems strange to me, and I again would request that we try to get those well in advance if at all possible.
That wasn't one that was changed at the last minute?
Part of the allowance for meals for the second day.
We don't have a separate check for per diem and then lodging, do we?
Lodging paid directly by the district.
Well, I mean, okay, you're paying.
We usually want to check for the mileage and per diem.
Yeah, that's together, yeah.
Also a supplemental check could be issued after the fact if necessary, but I still don't think there should be any reason to, wait until after the fact for this to show up on the warrants. That's just my opinion.
Well, it might not only be a supplemental check, but maybe a supplemental refund. One way or the other. But anyway, any other comments on the warrants? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries 5-0. Any written communication?
Yes. Yesterday, the county approved the granting of $712,514 of community development block grant funds, of which Oceano received $322,126 for an application that the district filed for repairs of the sewer lines damaged in the San Simeon earthquake. I think we owe special thanks to Dana Lilly and Tony Navarro of the County Planning Department for helping us not only prepare the application, but shepherding our application through the approval process. So we did receive $322,000 of the $712,000 that was available. So
that's excellent.
Good news.
That's excellent to receive almost half of it. Anything that's paid out, all the money that's spent that goes out from this district comes directly to us, either through rates or through taxes from the people that live here in Oceano, with the one exception of grants. Grant money is the one money that comes into this district that is not directly charged to the people here
doesn't cost people in Oceano, and that helps us all out. And appreciate the work that you did on this, Mitch, and the work from those within county staff. Thank you. Is that the end of the?
That's okay. All we got.
All right. So, meeting adjourned.